You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome back to the For I Will Be With You podcast for the 34th week of the year from August 19th to August 25th, covering Leviticus 26:36 to Numbers 3:8. So here is the final reading from the book of Leviticus in our cycle. Leviticus 26:36 to 37 reads, "The survivors among you, I will bring weakness into their hearts. In the lands of their foes, the sound of a rustling leaf will pursue them. They will flee as one flees the sword, and they will fall, but without a pursuer. They will stumble over one another as in flight from the sword, but there is no pursuer." So this is the final part of God's warning, his rebuke to the Israelites. He's really sort of rebuking them in advance, basically, if they, as God said in 26:19, if you behave casually with me and refuse to heed me being God, that if the Israelites behave casually with God in the land of Israel, they'll be exiled from the land of Israel, and they'll face many terrible experiences, which unfortunately history has shown to be true. Once the Israelites were expelled from the land of Israel in the year 70 by the Romans, they faced many, many terrible tragedies, the last one being the Holocaust in the 1940s. Anyway, but this idea that the sound of a rustling leaf will make us run for our lives is, to me, very evocative of the feelings of desperation and fear that can control us in addiction. When fear dominates us, we will flee from the slightest thing and, like the verse says, fall, but without a pursuer. Perhaps you can relate to this. The phrase, "they will stumble over one another," can be interpreted to mean, as one of the great commentators says, a man over his brother. In other words, our fears will be so intense that our flight will take the form of every man for himself. And this should also probably resonate with the addict's experience of fear. Fear drives selfishness. You'll step over your own brother, running away from your fears. But as the verse suggests, being casual with God is the root of this desperate, sorry state of life. Heeding God's laws and seeking conscious contact with God is the way to take charge and get control over these fears. Now we move on to the book of Numbers, the fourth book in the Torah, in the Pentateuch. Numbers 1:1 reads, "God spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai." So the key word in that sentence is wilderness, because although the book of Numbers is given that name in English, the Greeks called it the book of Numbers because in the book of Numbers they take a census of the Jews in the wilderness, so there's many countings and numbers. But the Hebrew name for the book of Numbers is Bamidbar, which means in the wilderness, which is from this first sentence. So there's a difference there. One calls it the book of Numbers and the other calls it the book of wilderness, basically. And it comes from this first sentence. The book is set in the wilderness of Sinai, where the Israelites received the Torah and wandered for 40 years before entering the promised land. And this is an interesting contrast for our use. It says, you know, if you think about it, Numbers, the word numbers implies plenty, and wilderness implies nothingness. And in some ways, you could think of it like this. The wilderness of Sinai was both. It was both plentiful and empty at the same time. It was an empty place. It was a desert. Yet it was also full of holy people and spiritual life. And these two things go together in the sense that many of us, need to be in sort of an empty place to get in touch with our spirituality. And when we're in a noisy place, it's full of activity and things, we may have less ability to focus on holiness. And conversely, as addicts, we've all probably felt at times as if we were in a wilderness of the soul, a place of great emptiness and meaninglessness. The insight that can help us at these moments is that the void of the wilderness exists to be filled. You can fill it with your personal spiritual growth, or you can languish in futility. You can sort of dry up in the desert, or you can try and fill up the desert with holiness. And what the book of Numbers is here to remind us is that God is in the wilderness if you're seeking him. That's the message in this first verse. God spoke to Moses in the wilderness. He can speak to you too. Numbers 1:2 continues with God saying to Moses, "Take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel according to their families, household by number of the names, every male according to their head count." God wants Moses to conduct a census of the Israelites. So it's a seemingly mundane task, like, you know, do a head count, count up the people. But of course it's not. I mean, there's no filler in the Bible. There's no reason to count up people and list them without a specific holy teaching implicit in it. The trick is to figure out what that might be. So one explanation is that Moses counts the Israelites because every Israelite counts. They count because they are there. Their presence is not an accident. You have to think about it. The Israelites who made it out to the wilderness did so because they had enough faith in God to take risks and take the risk of running away from Pharaoh. And although, as we learn in Exodus, you know, Pharaoh was very degraded by the plagues, he was still the most powerful king in the world, and it took a tremendous act of courage to leave, and it took a lot of courage to bring the Passover sacrifice, to slaughter a lamb, as they did in the book of Exodus, which was a capital offense in Egypt. It took a lot of courage to plunge into the Sea of Reeds, having the faith that it would split for them. So it's not a minor thing to come out all the way into the wilderness and then to receive the Torah and the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai and so forth. So their stand up and being counted is a sign of spiritual strength. And we have in AA also types of counting. We count days. You have 30 days, 60 days, 7 days, 1 day. And this fixation on days can be a little confusing to people outside the program, but we know it's a big deal. Getting to a certain amount of days without drugs or alcohol is a massive challenge. And as we know, sometimes those first 10, 30, 60 days are the hardest. We count the days because they count. Each day that we have is a sign of faith that God will help us in recovery. Continuing with this verse, Numbers 1:2, where God says, "Take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel according to their families, according to their father's household, by the number of the names, every male according to their head count." The Hebrew version of this phrase actually does not say, "Take a census." That's the way it's translated. But if it literally says, if you actually translate the words one for one, it says, "Lift up the head," as in count the heads, make a head count. Now, So, of course, this is a little bit confusing. Why is this translated as take a sentence? Why doesn't it say, you know, lift up the heads? The commentators say the phrase can have two meanings. One is that it can mean that one is uplifted by being counted as part of the congregation of the Israelites, but it could also mean that one loses his head. And this is interpreted from the verse in Genesis where Joseph is in Pharaoh's prison and he interprets the dream of Pharaoh's baker, predicting that the man would be beheaded. He uses the same phrasing. So this is one of the techniques of interpretation. You look for the same phrase used somewhere else as a way to figure out what something really means. So the view is that in this moment of being counted, the Israelites who are worthy will be uplifted by being counted, and if they are not worthy, they might suffer. Recovery also presents these two outcomes, though more as a choice than a judgment. We have the option to be included, to be counted with our heads uplifted. We can be uplifted by the experience of joining the fellowship. We can also, you know, phone it in, so to speak, and treat recovery as a perfunctory exercise. And certainly, I've met a lot of people in the rooms who, at some point in their recovery, or maybe they're still doing it, are treating it like, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to be here, and whatever, I'm just here, and I don't really care, and I'm not really doing it that seriously. And as we know, that can have potentially very bad consequences. Although, of course, everybody is going to go in cycles of being more intense or less intense in recovery. But I think it's important to realize that the results of recovery flow from our commitment to it, and we have the choice to be uplifted or not. In Numbers 1:5, the verse says, "These are the names of the men who shall stand with you, for Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedeur." So the Bible, in this point, starts to list, it goes into a lengthy list of names and tribes. For each tribal leader, it details the head count of each tribe. And why does the Torah tell us their names? Okay, so it's like, why are we, you know, sort of reading like a phone book from 3,000 years ago? It doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. But one interpretation is that it underscores the importance of the individual in the group. So this was a very big group. They counted over 600,000 adult men. So the estimate is the group of Israelites was about 3 million people. So it was a very big group. They were divided into tribes. They were divided into 12 tribes who represented approximately the 12 sons of Jacob, with a few little caveats. So we had 12 tribal groupings and 600,000 adult men. But within each tribe was individuals. So naming individuals emphasizes the personal responsibility that each person had to take. By counting the individuals, God is reminding them they have a personal obligation to follow God's law. God is also saying, you count. We have names too. Names count. And of course, in the program, everybody has the same last name. I'm Baruch, alcoholic, right? And you also have the last name, alcoholic. But we all have our first names, and we introduce ourselves at meetings by name. We are anonymous, but not unidentified. God counts us by name, too, in his own way. We should never forget that. No matter how bad we feel or how low we have fallen, we still have a name. We are still God's children. We count. Numbers 2:1-2:2 reads, "God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'The children of Israel shall encamp, each man by his banner, according to the insignias of their father's household. At a distance surrounding the tent of meeting shall they encamp.'" So what this verse is describing is how the Israelites laid out their camps, their campsites, so to speak. Imagine 3 million people camping in the desert. It must have been quite a scene, and there are actually a number of interesting artistic renderings of this, but just to picture it, you have in the middle of this, you have the tabernacle, and then around it, imagine like a series of little squares around the tabernacle were the encampments of the different tribes. but the tabernacle was in the middle, and, you know, one set of tribes was to the north, another was to the south, and, you know, east and the west and so forth. And each tribe had a flag. So you could, it was sort of like, imagine the tabernacle, then you had these flags of each tribe. And each tribe had a designated place determined by God. It wasn't like, you know, one tribe said, hey, you know, I think I'll be here. Another tribe said, no, I'll be over there. You know, no, they were told exactly where to go by God through Moses. And we can be inspired by this in the sense that we each have our role to play in life. We have our position, so to speak. But, like, we can be inspired by this layout of the Israelite camp in that God is at the center. And that we have our own groupings in this structure, in recovery, in the sense that it's a pretty well understood principle that in sober life, in recovery, people outside of the meeting rooms may not necessarily be friends or socialize, and we all have our tribes, so to speak. We come from different tribes, but we are all positioned with God at the center of our lives. So in a meeting, you have people from different backgrounds, different social groups, different socioeconomic situations, often very extreme contrasts. But in the meeting, we're all there for the same reason, and God is at the center of our life. And we know that God doesn't care what you do for a living or who your grandfather was. What matters is that you are present with God at the center of your life, and this is what will help you get sober and stay sober. So, in Numbers 3:8, God tells Moses, they, meaning the Levites, the tribe of Levi, they, the Levites, shall safeguard all the utensils of the tent of meeting and the charge of the children of Israel to perform the service of the tabernacle. So God instructed the Levites to safeguard the utensils used in the tabernacle, and these include things like the menorah and the altar, and there were all kinds of cups and knives and other things they used for the sacrifices, incense holders and burners and that kind of thing. This was one of their many holy assignments, and we all have our holy assignments in life, though we may not yet know what they are. The thing to remember is that we do have holy spiritual tasks to accomplish in life. We need to learn to listen carefully for God's will for us. That might mean getting ourselves into a quiet place so we can hear the word of God. Our mission, our service of God, might not be what we imagine it to be. It might just mean being present for others. This is a concept that I had to learn myself, having been raised in an environment where talking was important and how it was always important to have something clever to say. I was told by people who were a lot smarter than me in recovery, said, sometimes you really just have to be here to listen to everybody else. That's what you can do for someone today. Just listen. Which was really a polite way of telling me to shut up. But listening to a share can be a huge service to someone in recovery. In a lot of cases, you don't have to do anything to be a servant of God, to carry out His will.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com